This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You listen to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely lovely Miss Lorna Bikes, Sarah Ann Lucas.
Thank you very much.
Got all formal there, didn't I?
You never barrel me, do you? As in
Bird.
Double barrel name. Well, Sarah Ann Lucas.
Well, you've had so many names since I've been
here. I have. Yeah.
Because when I first met you, you only had two names.
Yep. No, I never. I've always had two. I've always been a Sarah Ann.
True, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just I just choose not to use it. But now I'm an author, darling, and I'm a writer. It seems to be rather appropriate. Yeah. I want to be Barbara Cartland anyway.
Do you?
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming
pink
for.
Chiffon.
Pink. Yeah.
And a lot
60.
Of gin.
Yeah. Oh, no gin. But with feather boas.
Yeah.
Writing.
Well, she didn't actually write, did she? She just laid on a sofa and supped gin and she...
Spoke.
She spoke and her PA just wrote it all down.
Love it.
And she'd knock out like 100 books a year.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Vivid imagination. Mind you, they were all fairly much the same, weren't they? All just bodice rippers.
They were all what?
Bodice rippers.
Bodice rippers?
Yeah, that's what
What's
they
that?
Were called. Yeah.
Never heard of that before.
Have you
in
not?
My
Google
life.
It. Google it, love. Yeah.
Google it, love. Bodice rippers.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, the story never changes, does it?
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's all the same thing. It's all.
All the same.
All breathy. Oh, he was so gorgeous.
Well, I tell you what, I'm on my way to becoming Barbara Cartland.
Are you? Yeah.
As we know.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that. And we do this all the time. And we hear about going to conferences and blah-de, blah-de, blah. Mm. And I choose mine really well. And I don't know. I mean, you've just been to Microsoft. Do you get invited? Do you just go along because you think that's the place for you to be, Matt?
So that one, yeah, it is. You have to pay to go, but it's still kind of heavily subsidised.
Yeah.
It's really just to weed out.
Yeah, and I'm the same. I choose to go somewhere. So I got chatting to Nick James years ago. Nick James runs a big event company, and he puts on expertempires.co.uk. Go and check out their website. They're awesome, awesome, awesome. And I'm going, and it's next week, and it's next Thursday, Friday. But I wasn't going to go. You know when you think, no, I've got my book to get written. I've got my da-da-da-da. And you keep saying no, and you keep saying no. And unfortunately, it came at a point when really maybe I should be saying no, but I'm still going. So I was like, yep, I've got to go to this. Go and check it out. So it's expertempires.co.uk. It's next Thursday, Friday. They have Tom Bilyeu there. Have you heard of Tom Bilyeu? Oh, my goodness. He did a nutrition company in America. And in 5 years, he's become a billionaire. So started it from nothing. He's got a massive impact academy online, which he does a massive podcast for that they video. We keep talking about video in this, don't we? Mm. We're missing a trick because that's the way people like to watch as well. Although I would question that a little bit because I like to listen to my podcasts in my car.
Although YouTube's new terms and conditions of business are a bit of a laugh, aren't they?
Aren't they? So there's an interesting one to start talking about. So if you're thinking to yourself, who do I want to go and see? And that's what I did. I was looking at and thinking, I need to be in that room with that audience. So I want to be in with the room with the audience and I want to hear that content. And the honesty of it is you can listen to that content online as well, but I want to be in it so that it inspires me to then push me up another level.
That's an interesting thing. Amanda and I were talking about this the other night about speakers and not denigrating anybody, but, you know, we go to lots of events and stuff like that and you hear great speakers, but the same ones over and over again. And so much of it is free and all the rest of it. But what I want to hear sometimes from massively good quality speakers, and I don't mind paying for that if what I'm hearing is really unique and different and something that I really need to hear.
Yeah.
But it's finding that and making sure that you got the right thing.
For sure.
Yeah, because I'm not a great fan of rah-rah American speakers either, because I've done it myself.
Yeah, so. But also at this event as well is Carrie Green. Carrie Green started off in university. She's a great speaker. She does a lot of women's empowerment. That's a space that I hold as well. So, of course, I'm choosing the right conference for me. And I love Nick James. Nick James is honest. He's true. He wrote an email the other day, which I really liked. Obviously, we know that most of the emails aren't from Nick.
Yeah.
But he actually said, look, I just want to be really transparent. Obviously, you know, these aren't all from me. So actually, I'm going to stop putting Nick James at the bottom and I'm going to get the people who wrote it. And I love that. I thought, yeah, of course. Yeah. So that makes it more transparent. And I think this is the way we want to be feeling and thinking. So next Thursday, Friday, I'm taking time out of business. I'm taking time out of writing. I'm taking.
Are you taking time out of your old business or the new one, which is?
Not doing. Both run very nicely side by side. It's yes. So I'm excited. So go and check them out. Expert Empires. And the funny thing was, I was asking them for a press release. They said to me, here, Bird, you don't know anybody who want to come to this. I went, I've got a radio show and I've co-host the business show. Do you want to give me a press release? And we'll see out there. They were like, yes, that's amazing. So Ad is probably listening to us now. And I said, go and listen to us. So Expert Empires, it is next Thursday, Friday. I would love to see you there. I'm going to be there. Go and check it out, expertempires.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Good. Enjoy. Let us know how it went.
Yes. I've going to take some equipment up with me to do some quick interviews and podcasts and stuff.
Ah, okay.
You know.
Not as you do.
Microphone wheel travel.
Exactly, yeah. The outside broadcast team and the business.
But this is why I go to these things as well. Yeah, I utilise that as part of my business. So even though I'm taking time out, I'm not really.
Yeah.
I want to meet great guests.
What I want is I want you to wear a flak vest.
A what vest?
A flak vest.
What's that?
You know, like, so anti-explosion vest and a steel helmet so that you can do a broadcast from the war zone.
I tell you what, right? Yeah. You'll laugh at this, but I run. Now it's coming into the winter training. I run in a weighted vest. I've told you about this, am I?
Yeah, yeah.
And I look like, am I allowed to say this? I look like I'm a bomber, packed with explosive. It's so true. I'm serious. So I'll be running along the seafront with my dog. And we had a helicopter come down in Samphire Ho, like Vietnam, right in your
it
face.
Didn't strafe, did
and
it?
I'm like thinking, oh, good Lord, I've got my weighted vest on as well. Because it looks like it's a packs of explosives. Yeah. So, yes, I will take my roaming bomb-proof jacket.
Good.
We shall
wait with bated breath for your
report. I'll do loads of Facebook Lives as well. So Fantastic. Go onto my website and you can see it all as well.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Athelbray and they say, Vanilla Wear Bird on a Bike. Can we have a Business Monkey shout out, please, for our spring public courses running at Chilston Park, the lovely Chilston Park over there at Lenham. There's management training, minute taking, wellbeing and resilience. All the details are on the website or just give us a call and we'll be happy to chat to anyone. You can find out all the details by following them on the Twitter and their Twitter handle is Athelbray Limited. That's Athelbray Limited. Athelbray Limited. Give them a follow. I promised I'd do this. It's quite long, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it now. I'm going to read out the finalists in this year's Ashford Business Awards, and I'm going to read out all the finalists by category.
Really?
Yeah. In the creative category, the finalists are Realia Marketing, Will Create, Made in Ashford, Oasis, and Whitefish Marketing. The finalists in customer service are Colin Bat Removals, East Kent Foot Care, Kieran Osborne, NPR IT, and Oasis. The finalists for Best Family Business are Direct Line Structures, Wealden Woodstyle, KDG Hypnotherapy, Realia Marketing, and Colin Bat Removals. The finalists in the Innovation category are, hold on a second, I've got to turn the page. The innovation category are EDT Automotive, Masonry Frame Systems, Plamil Foods, Hypo Hounds and Realia Marketing. In the big category, hospitality, leisure, food and tourism, the finalists are Docker Bakery and Brewery, Christmas in Tenterton and Hyde and Fox.
There you go.
There you go. Construction, it's the Jenna Group, OSG Architecture, Wealden Woodstyle, Direct Line Structures and Sterling Construction Works. The finalists for small business are NPR IT, Colin Bat Removals, Destra Engineering, Kieran Osborne, OSG Architecture. The women in business finalists are Katie Barker, Melissa Dawkins, AJ Sharp, Sarah Williams and Rachel Davenport. And last but not least, The finalists in startups are Mums in Ashford, Sharp Relations, Once Upon the Mat, Cosmos Care, and of course, Diamond Circle Weddings.
Which we've had in.
Which we've had in, because they tweeted. So thank you. So congratulations to all of those. I look forward to seeing you all at the awards dinner next week. I think it's the 20th of November. 20th
Are you
of
emceeing?
November. I am indeed emceeing the event. So I will see you all there. Have a lot of fun. They're good fun, these awards dinners. And congratulations to everyone who made the finals.
Yeah, great.
Cool. We're going to talk to Lee in a moment, but just before we do that, you can do a couple more.
Well, I was trying to do... So keep talking while I'm just finding this thing, because I'll tell
you what. Well, I'll tell you about Marsh Networking Over Coffee.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, there's the next event of Marsh Networking Over Coffee. Well, there's two events, and I'm going to tell you about them. It's at the Cinqport Arms on the 4th of December at 10 a.m. to 12 lunchtime. Cinqport Arms, New Romney High Street. If you want to find out about it, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh Network, you can find out, or you can email Terry Botfield, who organises it, terry@botfield.net. But he's also got an event on the 19th of November. Is that Manana? So that's tomorrow? No, it's next week.
Next week.
19th of November in Rye, at the King's Head in Rye. And that's from 9:30 until 12. And again, same contact details, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh Network, or you can email terry@botfield.net and find out about Rye Networking.
Awesome. Will be joining us in December. Will you be joining us in December for our Women in Business Christmas Luncheon at the beautiful Eastwell Manor? And this is on Tuesday, December the 3rd, 11:15 until 2:30. Now, I'm just looking at their lineup, and you've got Sarah Richardson, who's the former Lord Mayor of Westminster, managing director of a very successful London PR agency. Her clients include Hugo Boss and eBay. And then Jane Farnham, who is a TV presenter, voiceover expert, interior designer, travel show expert, and has worked with Ant and Dec. Wow. And of course, we've got the Big Jungle coming up soon, haven't we? Do you watch that?
I don't watch telly.
Oh, anyway. Right. Well, I won't be able to go to this because clearly we will be on air. But you need to go to www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. It's a great event. I've spoken a couple of times. I love going to these Kent Women in Business events.
Fantastic. Good stuff.
You can't speak there.
Why?
Because you're not a Kent woman in business.
Am I not?
Not.
Okay.
You're busy, aren't you, over there?
I was just trying to dig out the next tweet. That was all.
Ooh,
and I dropped my phone, so I lost. I logged onto something different. You know what happens when you drop your phone? It logs you onto something. You know that's. And I didn't know what it was, but it was interesting, so I started reading it. Because I've been bored so far.
There you go. This is what I have to tolerate.
I haven't really.
This is what I have to tolerate. You're on next. Wait for it.
I haven't really. Two very quick tweets. Storm Chasers Digital, thanks for supporting us. Storm Chasers are WordPress developers, and they also run the WordPress Academy, which is really good fun. And Michael Park Surveyors over there in Medway. We always love a Business Bunker shout out. Thank you, Paul. So commercial agents for London and the South East, and surveyors, Michael Park Surveyors. So I've got loads more tweets. We'll read them out in a minute, but I want to talk to our next guest. And it's really good of you to join us, Lee. It's the first time on the Business Bunker Show, only the second time on radio, having appeared on Sheppey FM already. Lee Swarbrook of Cooties. I love the name.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Lee. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us what Cooties is, what you do, how it works. What is it?
Okay, so we're a Kent-based startup. We've been going about 6 months now since, April, May time. And really, Cooties is all about making recycled products for children, really, or, you know, making products for children made from recycled plastic.
Okay. Let's do this kind of in reverse order, because I know you're very passionate about the recycling eco side of this, and you've got a lot of information that you're going to tell us. But I've looked at the website and I love what you've got there. So just give us an overview of the kind of things that you're making for kiddies.
So, okay. So the first product we launched was a children's coverall. It's a zip-up, all-in-one messy play suit for kids.
Yeah.
And
they're like overalls, aren't they?
They're like overalls.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So it's great. They're brilliant, aren't they? But they're kind of themed, aren't they?
Yeah, so we've got occupational themes. They was primarily aimed at schools and nurseries as our entry point. And that's why they come in four different designs, really. And it's sort of role-play. Kids can get messy and role play at the same time.
Yeah. So they're kind of like overalls, and they've got like a police officer.
We do a construction worker, firefighter.
Yeah, yeah. And they just look cool, don't they?
I'm just on the website now. You've got to go and have a look at it, everybody. Go on.
Yeah. So that's your products. The interesting bit of that, and they're lovely products, just in and of themselves, no matter how you made them. But of course, it's the backstory to how you make them that's really the cool bit, isn't it?
So that's the important thing for us, really. It's a big part of our message. The last 3 years we've spent looking at technology for making recycled textiles. Basically, when we started with the idea 3 years ago, we just didn't know how big a market was. For these textiles.
What was the catalyst? What was the inspiration? Were you drunk? I mean, what happened? Were you just sitting there?
We had three small children ourselves, and a washing machine was just going constantly every day. Yeah. And we just thought, surely there's got to be a way of stopping this amount of washing.
Yeah.
And a big subject at the time.
Short of nudity, you mean?
Yeah. a big topic at the time was microplastics, Paul. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people don't really realize that with wash cycles going constantly at home, all our clothes with polyester and things like that leach these microplastics into the water stream, which inevitably end up into our rivers and oceans. And it was a big thing for us, and that's what was the catalyst for starting long ago.
Okay, so you brought those kind of two things together. The fact that with small children, they kind of make a mess and you have to wash it a lot. But in the act of washing modern fabrics, you create this or add to the problem that exists in the world. So you sit there and you go, right, how can we solve those two issues in one go? So what was the processes you went through? Without knowing your background, you know, did you have a background in these kind of technologies anyway?
Not at all. So we just had a vision. We had an idea for a product, and that's what started us, really. Mm. And inevitably, we found ourselves out in China, where they've got a huge amount of industry for manufacturing recycled textiles. Right. And we just didn't realise till we got out there how big it actually was.
Right. So you decided to look at recycled textiles.
Yes.
So talk us through what actually happens now with your product.
Okay, so our product at the moment, the coverall, is made from recycled PP. So this is from a cutting
recycled
tape.
Recycled what?
PP. So it's polypropylene.
Oh, sorry. Okay, all right, got it.
this is waste from the cutting tables of manufacturers in China. So we take the waste and we convert it, into the coveralls. But it's just not PP. We can also work with PET as well, which is what you'll find in a lot of your single-use drinks bottles.
Right.
We can use that to reprocess and make textiles from.
Okay. What do? Do you melt the plastic? Do you chop it up small? How does it work?
Okay. So we take a waste plastic bottle.
Yep.
We literally chop it up into small pieces.
Yep.
We then melt it down. And we, from that process, we make a yarn from
so it's kind of small strands.
So it's extruded into small strands.
Yeah.
And then it's spun into yarn, and that yarn in turn is then used to create new textiles.
Okay. So you're kind of making a ball of plastic instead of a ball of wool out of spun, extruded plastic. What does it feel like at that stage? Does it feel like a textile? Does it still feel like plastic?
So, I mean, a lot of our clothes that we wear are polyester based anyway. So
the plastic.
It's very similar to what you would normally expect. And there's a huge range available now in terms of replicating items that we're using every day. And you couldn't tell a difference. You just couldn't tell a difference.
That's amazing. So you've taken completely used plastic items, things that we now find evil.
So general waste. Yeah. Yes.
And you've actually done something really special with it, which is make yarn. And then... from that process of actually producing the yarn, how do you then make that into a garment?
Okay, so that goes to it. Again, it's exactly the same process pretty much as what you would normally do when you're making normal garments. So they're just woven, they're woven together,
right,
or knitted together to make the material.
Okay. And are you having all this done in China at the moment?
So, yes, we're currently producing in China, yes.
Yeah, yeah, which kind of makes sense. So you've got these designs. You've obviously sourced the people that are, one, helping you source the plastic, because presumably you're sourcing that in China. And then you have the yarn made and you have the products made in China and then shipped back here. I'm fascinated from a business point. You know, you've got so many things going on here. You've got three major things going on. You've got a problem that you're solving for young children and their parents. You've got a business issue that you're doing here, and then you've got a whole eco green thing that you're doing. So they're kind of three silos that you've brought together, and I'm fascinated by all three of them. But one of the things that really fascinates me from a business point of view is how you got to China, found the people that you wanted to do this, and then pulled the whole thing together. Because I'm taking a flyer that you're not fluent in Mandarin or anything.
No, so we've just found our own way. And as talking to Matt earlier, you make a lot of mistakes, which we have done, but yeah. We've managed to get where we are, which is realizing the product and launching the product this year. But it takes a lot of work. But as you said, Paul, we've got a great story to tell.
Yeah.
There's a lot behind it, and there's a lot going on at the moment surrounding recycling.
Yeah.
Who's the wee, Lee?
So it's me and the small team that I've got working on this project at the moment.
Right.
Got it. I thought it might have been your partner and you just come up with this idea and then you've made it into this business.
Oh, my wife's been very much part of it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether she likes it or not.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
been very much.
You're going to China and you're going now.
Is she in the business with you, or are you the business and she's, you know?
No, my wife remains separate from her business.
Right, so you've gone, I'm going to China, love.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And she'll have
Isn't that interesting?
And she'll have a number 42, a 33, and some poor rice. And he's gone, no, but not the Chinese, China.
But yeah. For me, that's really fascinating. If you've got such a young family as well,
yeah.
All of a sudden you've become this entrepreneur, this businessman.
That's right. So we've just literally gone with it. I'm extremely passionate about it.
I think that's the crucial thing, isn't it? When you get your a bit between your teeth, when you're passionate about something, you just do it. Yeah, I see so many people that go, I've got a business idea, and you go, okay, we'll do it. And they go, oh, well, no. Whereas when you're passionate about it, you just do it without thinking about the consequences sometimes, don't you?
You do.
You just go, I'm going, I'll see you, love, I'm going to China.
Do you know what the big, and people do this, they'll go, oh, how's your book coming on? I haven't got time to write a book. Like, I've got all the time in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. We had someone a while back on the show and we said about having a social media account and Twitter, and they went, oh, we haven't got time. And all of us sat here and went, yeah, well, we got oodles of time. Yeah, we don't do anything, us lot.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. We just sit there wasting our time on Twitter.
So, and can you tell? So, have you always been into business or?
No, not at all. No, this time last year, I was working a normal job.
Right.
So, we literally took the plunge at the end of last year.
See, I love stories like
so
this.
So do I. You've got us now, Lee.
Yeah, I absolutely love stories like this because it's about having an idea, and it's about that idea being driven by passion. You know, there's a lot of rubbish talked about business, a lot of rubbish, especially in times like this when we're talking about elections and politicians and about business people. I know almost no one that went into business with the thought of going, do you know what, I'm going to go into business so I can make truckloads of money. I don't know people that do that. I think people go into business because they've got a passion for something they want to do that says, I can do this. They've either got a talent for doing something. You know, I would suggest like Matt's background in IT, he has a talent for what he's doing and he's turned that into a business because he's still a very young man as well. Yeah. So, you know, he's built a business very successfully based on the talents that he's got and the passion that he's got for those talents. Lee has seen an opportunity and has just grasped it with both hands, both feet.
But with that passion, Paul, comes a great story as well. So that's the important thing for us, is telling the story and being open about it. And it's such a problem now because people aren't open enough about how they produce goods, where they've come from, and where they go afterwards.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem, but we're developing a fully traceable supply chain. So we'll be able to tell the whole story from where the waste is sourced to how we've turned it into new products and what to do with it afterwards as well.
And that's vital. That's absolutely vital. I was speaking to somebody yesterday. They went and did a PhD in agriculture, and they went, and I was like, how did you get to that? She said, because I was in the food industry and I was so fed up because I didn't know where my food was coming from. So I thought, right, I need to go and learn. And that's exactly.
It's true.
So now we're being really transparent. One thing I'd like to ask, and that would be, you're in a very emotional arena with global warming, with that whole environment. Obviously, you have to get your product from China to here.
Correct.
And there will be some way that isn't green to the planet. Do you find that comes in conflict with your passion, with what you believe to be true?
Well, not really. We do it in the most energy, low carbon efficient way we can, and that's shipping, really. So we have a very long time shipping over. But we can also make use of reverse logistics as well, where we can send waste back out, not that China takes it anymore. Mm. But we can certainly make use of taking any empty containers and making use of those containers for taking waste or such as plastics back out to countries that are processing them.
And that's where you are, isn't it? Is that you have to balance between where is the greenest way for me to do it, even though it isn't green to the planet, if that makes sense.
It's working with manufacturers internationally to try and find a solution to it.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of hard work. It's not easy, but there is a solution there.
And Lee, why do you care? And that's a real caring question. So why do you care?
I think the big thing for me, and going back to my own children as well, it's we're handing this down to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And what we've done so far isn't great in terms of the use of plastic or anything like that, really. So we've got to think from our children's perspective what they're going to be growing up as and what they're going to be thinking of us. And how irresponsible we were in the handling of a lot of these.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like anything, you find technology becomes a problem eventually, I mean, the whole Industrial Revolution was built on steam and coal. And then you find that, you know, way back in the 50s, you know, we were under a blanket of smog and the government had to react to that by, you know, cutting down on burning fossil fuel back then in the 1950s, just because of the smog, let alone the environmental impacts, the health impacts were horrendous. So each new piece of technology creates its knock-on problems, but that's what inspires the next level of technology to actually leapfrog that and move into something else. So, you know, what I expect to see, based on the kind of things that you're doing, is people working on the next level of technology to cut out that loop altogether and to produce yarns or materials.
Yeah, it's very much closed circle. And, you know, that's what we're trying to achieve ultimately. From anything, really, from the bags we use every day to the clothing we wear, there's lots more that can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. A friend of mine was making some time ago, he bought a job lot of fire hoses from the Second World War, the old canvas fire hoses, and he made laptop bags out of them. And he sold them for a fortune, because they were just so unique.
Yeah.
So the whole recycling thing has really kind of taken off as well in terms of reusing things. I love your story. I love what you've done. And you've kind of created a virtuous circle, because the product that you've got at the end of it is what started the thing in the first place. So you've kind of solved your own problem in a really circuitous way, haven't you? You've gone, well, now the kids don't get dirty, so now we don't wash them, so now we don't, you know, we don't have all this problem of getting it into the water supply anyway. So I love what you're doing. So where do you go from here? What's happening next?
So we're trying to bring our new product ranges out.
Right.
2020. So they're backpacks, lunch bags, pencil cases.
Right.
All made from recycled plastic.
Right.
We're up to about 80% now of these new ranges that are coming out. We've even got the zips made from recycled plastic as well.
Wow. Okay.
Amazing.
So there's been lots of milestones that we've reached along the way as well.
And can I, you've done an awful lot in a very short space of time. Yeah. Of course, to make this work, you've got to have the straightforward business side of it as well, where you've got to sell these products.
The commercialisation is another big aspect for us, really. Yeah. And trade shows make a big part of next year for us as well. It's putting the product, or more importantly, putting our story out there now, because that's what's really important for us.
Well, you've got life is about stories, as far as I'm concerned, and you've got a really interesting story. As far as the products are concerned, how are you commercialising those? Do you sell them to the end public, or are you looking at wholesale, or a bit of both?
So distribution, B2B, B2C, through our own website as well. We're keeping our options open, really.
Right. So you've got an online store, as it were. You can go into your website and buy them just as a one-off thing.
Yep, that's correct.
Yep. And you're also looking at wholesaling them through distributors and store groups?
Yeah, that's right. So hopefully trade fairs will open new doors for us next year.
Yeah.
And we want to attend as many as we can, really, and just see how well received the products are.
And how are you finding that? I mean, you can't, because you're so passionate about it, you kind of breeze through this going, yeah, then we did that, and then we did this, and then we did that, and then we did this. So many people struggle with these things.
It's not easy. I won't lie, Paul. It's not easy at all. And as I was saying earlier, it's a 24/7 job at the moment. It's just absolutely full on, and we've really got to do our best to push them out there. But we've had a lot of support, really.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because what you've started is not an easy thing to start, and there's a lot of startup costs for a start, and there's a lot of different areas of expertise. So how have you gone about that? How have you done that?
So it's really, I suppose, working with people who are associated with the industry. If we could find, that was where we first started out, trying to find people that were working with this material already.
So what do you do? You just kind of, after you had the initial idea, what do? You sat there and Googled it?
You've got to Google it. You've literally got to Google it, and you've got to spend a lot of time on the phone trying to get through to people that actually want to start talking about this technology as well. Yeah. As I say, it's been growing all the time. And it's just finding people that want to come on board and give a startup a chance, because a lot of people just won't entertain you as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So in terms of support, both financially and in informationally, how have you found that?
So we found it's been quite good, really. There's a wealth of support out there locally for anybody thinking about starting up a company. And we've been part of a lot of it, really, from the Business Terrace at Maidstone, Let's Do Business Group, Innovate to Succeed, the Growth Hub, Southeast Business Boost. We've been involved with a lot of them, really. Enterprise Europe Network's another one as well.
Yep. So if they provide funding or information or a bit of both?
It's a bit of both, really. Right. So we get mentors that come on and help us. We get directed to potential grants that we can get as well. Right. And obviously with our story and what we're doing as well, it does open doors up for more sustainable companies that are starting up.
Yep.
So there's been a bit of both, Paul.
Okay. That's cool. So What's your goal? Where do you want to be? You know, it's a perennial question. Where do you want to be in a few years' time?
In a few years' time, we'd love to be the company that's recycled 30, 40 million bottles and turned them into products for kids.
Right. Are you counting the bottles as a measurement?
We can. And we're actually going to be labelling our products to show you how many recycled bottles
you're going to have a counter on the website, aren't you?
That's a great idea.
And when you hit a million bottles, you're going to have a party.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's that's exactly what we want to do, really. So we're going to have a product count, how many bottles we've managed to recycle with what we've made.
And it's building that trust that we trust that that's the true number and not just a marketing number,
isn't
it?
So that's where the traceability and the story comes in, having that open supply chain where you can just trace
it. You've got us all excited now. You've got us we love this in business. Love business, Paul, don't we?
I can't think what it was, just to deflate that. I can't think what it was. There was some website I was looking at a while back, and they were talking about numbers of things, and I thought, that's a weird number. So I looked at the HTML, to see what the counter was doing, and there wasn't a counter. It just had the number in there.
Exactly.
They just made it up and put it in there. So
you've got to back up, really, what you're saying.
You have.
That's why it's so important now. Yeah. It's just keeping it all open and so people can see it.
Two things, really. One, you're saying you're transparent, so guess what? You have to be. Mm. And then two, you're in an arena that we're just waiting for you to make the wrong mistake, really. Let's be honest, because we're just going, oh, you're not being, because you've got this ship going from that's not green. Yeah. Like, oh, are you vegan? You're just waiting to judge you in every, and that's the really sad place that you're in.
It doesn't count until your products are in Greg's, apparently.
Yeah.
And then it's fine.
This is a funny thing, but I really feel, there's, you have to be, if you're on this this pathway, then you have to be whiter than whiter than white, you know? Mm. Your halo's got to be shining. I don't think that's true.
You just need to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
And
exactly.
You need other people to come on board as well. And that's where it starts. And that's driven by the consumer. That starts at the consumer.
So we're kind of running out of time, but there's so many questions that I want to ask. And so you've got these overall type products, but you're looking at backpacks and pencil cases and stuff like that. How are you designing them?
So we've got an in-house design team at the moment that works on them, and we have all our designs. We custom make ourselves, so it's everything that we want to put in to communicate and the message about our product and what we're doing as well. And we want to try and tie it in as best we can with our stories.
Your children must be driven mad now, because they must just be your sampling group. Would you like to be a fireman? Would you like to be this?
No, play with that. I don't want to play with that, Daddy. Play with it.
Well, big shout out to all our Cooties kids, actually. If any of them are listening, we've got a huge group of children that help us with all our marketing as well. So thank you very much.
You need it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a film about that once, wasn't there?
What's that?
Some kids that were marketing it was, I can't remember what the film was. Somebody will tell me in a minute.
Tweet us what it was.
There was a lad that got swapped. A lad in his 20s got swapped with an 8-year-old.
Big?
It could have been. Yeah, it's big.
Tom Hanks.
Tom
Hanks.
Yeah, Tom. That's it. Yeah, and he was a
don't
toy.
Don't get me started on all the lyrics.
No, he was a toy tester.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love this and I love it for two reasons. One, it's too big for me to bite into, if that makes sense. And somebody like, have you heard of Susie Amos? She does this one meal a day. So what they're trying to do, and it's very similar to what you're doing, it's trying to get people onto plant-based diets. And instead of saying you've got to swap like that to just plant-based, she'll say, look, just do it as one meal a day, because then actually you can encourage people to come on this, I don't know, pilgrimage with you, this, because you're doing something that is going to save. It's going to have an amazing end result.
Yeah.
And that's the same with you. It's like, oh my gosh, Lee, this is far too big for me to do. So how can I do something small that will introduce me into this?
And that's what it is. It's just baby steps from everyone to start with. And before you know it, you've got a lot of people on board that really want to start making a difference. And that's how change happens.
Yeah. Absolutely. Although, I have to say, I need to say this because I saw it last night and I just thought, really? Somebody posted on Facebook in Southeast Asia, they've started wrapping supermarket goods, food, instead of wrapping it in plastic, they're wrapping it in banana leaves. And they're going, oh, what a brilliant idea that is. And I went, well, it is if you live somewhere where banana leaves are £2 a penny, a start. But why wrap it in anything?
I know.
And the picture they showed you was bananas.
I
think you'll find that bananas come in their own wrapping anyway. You know, we've got this thing where we have to put everything in a bag or a box or wrapping. Years ago, you didn't do that. You know, if you went to a greengrocer's and you bought stuff, you had your shopping bag, they weighed some, you won't know this because none of you are old enough, but they weighed some potatoes and they just emptied it in your bag. You didn't wrap it in anything.
We were talking about this yesterday. I was with a couple of women talking about women's well-being and blah, blah, blah. Mm. We were just talking about this. When did something change and then it affect our, you know, so just like that food chain, or we used to all be in the same room together. We didn't have hand sanitizers. Our immune system was massive. I know, right? And then now all of a sudden we're sanitizing everything. And now all of a sudden we have to be, our immune system's dropping and blah. Yeah. And so it goes on. So when did that change? Do you remember we had that lady, she was on my show as well. I can't remember her name now. Monica
Janssen.
Who told us about our bed routine that we used to all be in the same bedroom together and we used to have meetings in there. And then all of a sudden, now we don't. It's a very private arena. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love what you've done, Lee. And the story is really powerful and really important because you've just gone mad, mate, haven't you? Let's face it.
He's all in.
He's just gone for it, hasn't he? He's just gone, I've had an idea and I'm doing it.
What do you need next from us? How can we support you?
Okay, so we need, really it's about telling our story. So we just need to get people on board with us that are really, in, you know, understand our story, understand what we're doing.
Yeah.
And spreading the message.
Yeah.
And, we don't want it to be just us. We want other people to do it as well.
Yeah.
And they are. There's high street retailers that are using this technology already.
Amazing.
Our supermarkets have started to replace some of the packaging already.
Yeah.
People are making changes, but plastic isn't going away.
Yeah.
It's not going to disappear. It's increasing. Production is increasing. It's business.
The problem is it's a useful product, isn't it, for all kinds of reasons.
We have a plastic age now.
Yeah.
The same as the Bronze Age, the Iron Age. We have a plastic age, and we'll be known for it. And it's not about getting rid of it. It's about how we reuse it effectively and reduce. That's important.
Amazing.
I love what you're doing. If people want to find out more about Cooties, what's the best way of doing that?
Okay, well, just visit the website, Cooties with a K, .co.uk.
Cooties, KOOTIS.co.uk.
KOOTIES.co.uk. You got it.
Yeah. And there's a link on the website, on the radio website already. Lee, thank you for that. Absolutely blown away by what you've done. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Brilliant. And it's brilliant. It's a brilliant story.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a brilliant
story. That's how business is. That's what we love.
Yeah.
It's meaty.
But it shows you how people start successful businesses. And one of my, I'm a bit of a controversial person here. I was at an event the other day, and I was chairing the event, and there was someone from a bank, and they said, right, hands up, who's revisited their business plan recently, and half of the hands went in it, and they went, hands up, blah, blah, blah. And they said, hands up, who hasn't got a business plan? So I went, me. And I was the only person in the room. And they've gone, why? And I've gone, because they're rubbish. It's a business plan. It's just fantasy. Yeah. It's just a bunch of made up numbers. Why waste your time doing it? And because in my experience, successful businesses are done by people that just make it happen. Yeah. And what you do is you start out on you do something, and then you react to whatever happens when you do it. I'm sure that you didn't go, right, it must all happen in China, so that's what they do in China. I'm sure what you did is you said, how does this happen? And it turned out that they do it in China, so you go to China. If they'd have done it in India or Brazil, you would have gone to India or Brazil. You go where you go, don't you? So if you'd have written a business plan, you would have gone, well, first of all, we'll investigate the China market and
You wouldn't have wanted to go to China, not being rude. Why would you leap?
Yeah.
Into China.
That's exactly my point. And therefore, you don't do what you were going to do because it's not in your plan.
No.
So basically, what you do is you react to what you have to react to, and you make decisions based on what you see. And that might come to a point where you find somewhere down the line a different way of doing that, in which case you'll change. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, one would hope
you will.
You have to adapt.
But it's the same reason that we ship our waste out of a country as well.
Yeah.
Is because we can't deal with processing it ourselves.
Yeah.
Here.
Absolutely.
And interesting, we haven't mentioned it too much, but Lee started this while we're in this worrying point of we're an island that we can't export or import anything.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
No, I love
absolutely.
It.
Yeah,
I love it.
Fantastic. What you got, Bird?
Well, I have got a bit of a recap. So remember, next week I'm going to Experts Academy.
Yep.
They've kindly said to me, don't forget to put on the /. So here's what I need you to do. Go on to Experts. So it's www.wibblywobblywexpertempires.co.uk and then put /B Bunker because they want to see what we're doing in here and how we can help them. So they want us to, they'll be able to do some bits and pieces for you. So put /B Bunker, and then they can see who's coming through from here, which cool. I love from them. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. I've literally just got an email coming. It says, hold on, we are Beams, and we're a local charity supporting disabled children and their families. We're hosting a curry night and networking event on Wednesday the 20th of November. And a Christmas wreath-making workshop on Thursday the 5th of December. We would be grateful if you could give these a mention on the radio show, please. So the curry night and networking is at Namaste Swanley, 9 the High Street, Swanley, and it's on Wednesday the 20th of November from 7:30 until 10 p.m. And we said we look forward to welcoming you to an evening of delicious food and networking. We will meet in the cocktail bar at the Namaste when you arrive. I don't know how to pronounce that.
It's Namaste.
Oh, so
and it's Sanskrit.
Right.
It's Sanskrit. And it's one of the most beautiful words ever. And it means I bow to the divine in you.
It means?
I bow to the divine in you.
That's very kind, but what does it
namaste.
Mean?
Namaste.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Namaste.
I'm wasted. Yeah.
Anyway, namaste in Swanley is where it's happening.
Namaste.
There'll be plenty of opportunity to network with lots of local businesses while showing your support for We Are Beams. To book, you can either call 01322 66850 or you can email julia.hussain, H-U-S-S-A-I-N, julia.hussain@wearebeams.org.uk. Check it out. And then, the Christmas wreath making workshop is at We Are Beams in Hextable on Thursday, the 5th of December from 10:30 until 12:30. Enjoy a morning of festive fun while learning how to create your own luxury, fresh, seasonal wreath. In the hands-on workshops, florist Sarah from Wild Ideas Florists will be providing her know-how and expertise. It's only £30 a person, refreshments and mince pies. It's that time of year again. Again, same email, julia.hussain@wearebeams.org.uk to book your space. So do support that. They're a lovely little charity, so do support them.
We haven't done very many tweets, have we? So I thought I'd quickly go back. So we've got Ethelbray Limited. Hello,
Amanda
Ethelbray.
Was moaning about my choice of music.
Right.
She's not... See, she's too
and
young.
And she said clean it up. What's that mean?
Oh, that's you.
What did I do?
I don't know. I'm just blaming you.
She always has a go at me for something. Anyway, we've got Ethelbray Limited. We've got Vanilla Web, Bird and a Bike. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out for our spring public courses running at Chilston Park? This is a management training, minute taking, wellbeing and resilience. All the details are on their website, or just give them a call and they'll be happy to help. So this is Ethelbray Limited. There you go. And they've got a lovely gif of a really old phone. You know, the one where you put your finger in. And it goes
dial
around.
Phone, yeah.
I used to have one. I got a vintage one years ago and put it in my toilet. Yep, you heard it right.
It'll get all wet if you do that.
Thing, isn't it? Yeah. You don't have it on the wall. Wet. You just, you know,
does
like the top road ones.
Does it work?
Of course it does.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's the way forward. Have a phone in your toilet.
Okay. I was having a round with someone on social media the other night.
That's
about technology.
You.
Yeah. See, because I'm old and they thought they knew, but I was actually there at the time, mate. So they got it wrong. Right. I want you to help me.
What do you want?
I want you to help me bridge the gap between schools and business. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 3030. It's a two-hour event that's totally free for business and schools to get together. We take up to 30 businesses to meet 30 A-level students in a school. There's a program, there's a couple of workshops for the students, and there's a workshop for the businesses. And then the main part of it is the networking, where we do speed networking, where the students get to meet for 5 minutes each of the businesses and find out a little bit about what kind of things that businesses do and what kind of skills they actually want when they're hiring. It's a fabulous thing we do. We do it in conjunction with the Federation of Small Business. We've had over 1,300 students through the programme so far, and it's starting to take off now as more and more schools hear about it. And our next event is on the 20th of November at the Longfield Academy in Dartford. If you want to find out about the event and find out about future events that we're doing, because we've got schools booked during 2020 as well, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30 and find out all about it.
You've got two guests here that would be absolutely amazing. Your stories would be amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to listen to the cloud and then you've got the future.
Absolutely.
So it's just interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
We've got High Bird and a Bike. I thought I'd keep tradition going. We are relaunching carsfromkent.com in the new year, but you can still buy and sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. Cheers, Sean. It's a pleasure. Love the fact we're keeping tradition going.
Absolutely. Have you got anything else?
I have. I've got loads going on. It says, hey, Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike, can we have a Business Bunker shout out? Please, our new private office units and fixed desks are now available. Why not pop in for a tour and meet the community? Drop us a mail for more details. And that's at hello@fruitworks.co.com.
No, it's just .co. The amount of people that go,
that's what I said.
You've left the M off. And that's I go, no, I haven't. And
did
I go,
you not you've get left... .com?
No. Nor .co.uk.
I can in my new business.
What's that?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, blimey. What else you got?
Oh, you want me to keep going?
Yeah, we've got 3 minutes.
Excellent. Oh, I can fit in loads then. Good afternoon. I am hosting a charity comedy night at the Ditton Community Centre on Sunday the 1st. Oh, I want to see this so much.
Yeah.
On the 1st of December, headlined by Simon Brodkin, who is, of course, Lee Nelson.
Lee Nelson, yeah.
Supporting Simon with all Canterbury's own is Mark Simmons, who himself is rising star on the comedy circuit and is set for an appearance on Mock of the Week. Would there be any chance you could give my event a shout out on the radio? Yes, here it is. The tickets are £12.50 and you can purchase through www.wibblywobblywebster. Actually, it's not. It's not a website. It's an email. So get ready for this. It's Brodkin and Ward tickets 2019 at yahoo.com. Don't worry, we'll put that all on our website. The doors open at 7:30 and this is an event is in aid of Aspire. Who and he's running the marathon next year. Everybody's running the marathon next
year.
I'm not this year either.
No.
Aspire to support people with spinal cord injuries. So go and check them out.
I think you ought to run the marathon by giving me a piggyback around it.
I can't.
Why?
Because I'm doing Ironman next year.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the marathon's only a third of it.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Wimp.
So, how rude.
Anyway, I want to say, don't forget to tune in this Friday to our sister show, the Business Bunker Extra Show, presented by Amanda. And this week her co-host is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. And their guest is Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fantastic show. It's on Friday. It's 11 o'clock. So do tune in on bizradio.co.uk for that. I just want to say a huge thank you to my fantastic guest, Mr. Matt Parkinson of Voo Servers and Vinters IT. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
For Lee Swarbrick for bringing his story about his plastic recycling into kids' products. Thank you so much, Lee, for Cooties.
Thank you.
To my co-host, the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, otherwise known as Bird on a Bike. We'll be back with the show next week. I'm getting all formal again, aren't I?
Oh, I'm loving it.
Do tune in to the extra show on Friday. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you all next week. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.